This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, we bring you an old but very lively satire by a master of the barbed epigram and the poison pen, Monsieur Voltaire, philosopher and thorn in the side of his royal masters Louis of France and Frederick the Great of Prussia. The stuffed shirt and the pompous philosopher are not confined to ancient times, and our story today is dedicated to the deflation of ballooning egos, past and present. Here now in a radio adaptation by Morton Wishengrad, Candide by Voltaire.
In the castle of Baron Thunderdentronck in Westphalia, there lived a youth endowed by nature with a most gentle character. His face was the expression of his soul. His judgment was quite honest, and he was extremely simple-minded. And this was the reason, I think, that he was named Candide.
I suspect my mother was the Baron's sister, and my father a decent, honest gentleman of the neighborhood. Alas, he could only prove 71 quarterings in his genealogical tree.
Now, Baron Thunderdentronck was one of the most powerful lords in Westphalia, for his castle possessed a door and windows. His great hall was even decorated with a piece of tapestry. And most important, the Baroness weighed about 350 pounds and was therefore greatly respected. Her daughter, Cunegonde, was rosy-cheeked, fresh, plump, and tempting. A tutor, Pangloss, was the oracle of the house, and Candide followed his lessons with all the candor of his age and character. Pangloss taught...
Metaphysico, theologo, cosmolonogology.
Dr. Pangloss?
Metaphysico, theologo, cosmolonogology. There is no effect without a cause, and this is the best of all possible worlds.
Then this is the best of all possible castles?
It cannot be otherwise. Since everything is made for an end, everything is necessarily for the best end.
That's wonderful.
Do not interrupt, Candide. Observe that noses were made to wear spectacles, and so we have spectacles. Legs were visibly instituted to be breeched, and we have breeches.
Then all is well, Dr. Pangloss.
Nonsense, Candide. All is not well.
No?
No. All is not well. All is for the best in this best of all possible worlds.
It happened in this best of all possible worlds that Candide met Cunegonde and observed that she blushed. Candide also blushed.
Good morning.
Good morning, Cunegonde.
The next day, after dinner, Cunegonde and Candide found themselves behind a screen. Cunegonde dropped her handkerchief.
Oh.
Candide picked it up. She innocently held his hand.
Oh.
The young man innocently kissed the young lady's hand.
Oh.
Their lips met. Their eyes sparkled. Their knees trembled. Their hands... Naturally, it was the Baron. Passing near the screen, he had observed cause and effect. Now he expelled Candide from the castle by kicking him.
Ouch!
Accurately.
Ouch!
Frequently.
Ouch! Ouch! Ouch!
And hard. And all was in consternation in the noblest and most agreeable of all possible castles.
Mm-hmm.
shivering, penniless, cold and exhausted after a supperless night between two furrows in the open field, Candide dragged himself toward the neighboring town of Waldbergov Trapdikdorf. He halted sadly before the village inn and went inside.
Comrade, there's a well-built young man.
Just the right height, I'd say.
I think so, too. Sir!
Do you mean me?
I do. Will you have dinner with us?
Dinner? Gentlemen, you do me a great honor.
Not at all.
I have no money to pay my share.
Sir, persons of your figure and merit never pay anything.
Men were only made to help each other.
I see Dr. Pangloss was right. Everything is for the best.
What's that?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Well, sit down there.
Thank you, sir.
Innkeeper.
Yes?
Three dinners and three tankards first.
Ah.
Tell me, sir, do you not love tenderly...
You know? Ah, yes. I love Mademoiselle Cunegonde tenderly.
Ah-ha. We were asking you if you do not tenderly love the King of the Bulgarians.
I have never seen him, gentlemen.
Three tankards of the best, gentlemen.
Thank you, innkeeper.
So, you have never heard of the King of the Bulgarians?
No, gentlemen. I am ashamed to say I have not.
He is the most charming of kings. You must drink to his health.
Gladly, gentlemen.
A toast.
A toast?
To the King of the Bulgarians.
Of course. To the King of the Bulgarians.
Drink deep.
That's all.
What did you say?
He said, that's all.
You are now, by that oath, the support, the aid, the defender, the hero of the Bulgarians.
Exactly. Your fortune is made and your glory assured. Kaspar, fetch the lanterns for the hero.
They immediately put irons on his legs and dragged him off to a cell.
In there! Stand up, prisoner!
What do you want with me?
We give you a choice.
Yes, you can exercise your free will.
Either to be lashed 36 times by the whole regiment, or to receive a dozen lead bullets in your brain.
Which do you prefer?
Are men's wills free?
Of course!
Then I want neither.
Oh, no, you are free to make a choice. A choice of the bullets or the lash.
Very well. I choose the lash.
And so Candide determined to run the gauntlet 36 times, and actually he did so twice. There were 2,000 men in the regiment. That made 4,000 strokes which laid bare the muscles and nerves on his back. As they were about to proceed to a third turn, Candide, utterly exhausted, begged a small favor.
Please, please, will you be so kind? Will you do me the human kindness to smash my head in?
Of course. We are not inhuman. Kaspar, blind his eyes.
Kneel, Candide.
How can I ever thank you?
Just shut up and kneel a little more.
Make way for me! Make way for the King of all Bulgaria! Hey, what goes on? Well?
They told the king, and being possessed of vast genius, the King of Bulgaria perceived that Candide was a young metaphysician, very ignorant in worldly matters.
Unbind him!
But you...
Do as I say!
Unbind him, Kaspar!
Yes, sir! That's better! Rise, Candide! You are free!
This clemency of the King of Bulgaria will be praised in all newspapers and all ages. An honest surgeon healed Candide with ointments recommended by Dioscorides, and in 3 weeks our hero had regained a little skin and could even run. In fact, he did not stop running till he reached Holland. In Holland, he was overjoyed to meet the philosopher, Dr. Pangloss, and together they journeyed to Lisbon.
God save us! It is an earthquake!
Dr. Pangloss, it is the last day of the world.
What can be the sufficient reason for this phenomenon, Candide?
I don't know, but let's get out of it. Save me!
Candide, where are you?
Here, Dr. Pangloss.
Are you dead, Candide?
I think so.
Then it must be for the best.
Alas, Dr. Pangloss, get me a little wine and oil. I am not dead, I am dying.
This earthquake is not a new thing.
True. A little wine, please.
The town of Lima felt the same shocks last year. Similar causes produce similar effects.
Doubtless you are right, Dr. Pangloss, but I am dying.
There must certainly be a train of sulfur underground from Lima to Lisbon.
Nothing is more probable, but for God's sake, a little oil and wine.
What do you mean, probably? I maintain that it is proved. Yet all this is for the best. For if there is a volcano at Lisbon, it cannot be anywhere else.
Please.
For it is impossible that things should not be where they are, for all is well. And it necessarily proves, my dear Candide, that in this best of all possible worlds, I... Aren't you listening, Candide? Curious. He's actually fainted.
After the earthquake, which destroyed three-quarters of Lisbon, the wise men of that country could discover no more efficacious way of preventing a total ruin than by giving the people a splendid auto-da-fé. It was decided that the sight of several persons being slowly burned in great ceremony is an infallible secret for preventing earthquakes. Among others, they seized Pangloss and Candide. Candide was flogged in time to the music, and Dr. Pangloss was hanged. Although this is not the custom.
My son, you are all covered with blood.
Am I?
You are quivering from head to foot.
I can't help it. If this is the best of all possible worlds, what kind of worlds are the others?
Okay.
Let it pass. Let it pass that I was flogged. For I was also flogged by the Bulgarians. But, oh, my dear Pangloss, the greatest of philosophers.
You don't say.
Hanged?
It looks it, doesn't it?
Why? Why was it done?
Now, that is a question.
Why? Hanged, and I don't even know the reason why. Oh, Mademoiselle Cunegonde, the pearl of women.
Did you say Cunegonde?
Yes. Oh, Cunegonde, I can scarcely stand.
Courage, my son. Courage, my son, and follow me. Candide.
Cunegonde. How did you come here?
The Bulgarians. They murdered my mother and father.
No.
Yes. A large Bulgarian commenced to beat me.
No.
Yes. This brought me to.
I should hope so.
Oh, it did, Candide. I tried to tear out his eyes. I didn't know it was a matter of custom in such cases. The brute stabbed me with a knife in my left side. I still have the scar.
Alas, I hope I shall see it.
Oh, you will.
Go on, Cunegonde.
After much wandering and ill adventure, my dear Candide, I came to Lisbon and to your arms.
Darling.
Let's not stay here another day.
But this is the best of all possible cities.
Let's go across the ocean, Candide. Let's go to...
Yes?
To...
Yes?
I have it. We shall go to Buenos Aires.
They finally arrived at Buenos Aires and went to call on the governor, Don Fernando de Barra y Figueroa y Mascarenes y Lampuros y Souza. This gentleman had the pride befitting a man who owned so many names. He talked to men with a most noble disdain, turning his nose up so far, raising his voice so pitilessly, assuming so imposing a tone, affecting so lofty a carriage, that all who addressed him were tempted to give him a thrashing. He had a furious passion for women. And the first thing he did was to ask...
Señor Candide.
Yes, Excellency?
Is the lady your wife?
My, wife?
That is the question.
Well...
Good. I want to marry her at once.
Your Excellency!
Thank you.
But, Your Excellency...
Sir, I am Don Fernando de Ibarri, Figueroa y Mascareñas, Leompurdos y Souza. Be careful. I am a passionate man. Señorita Cunegonda, it is in your power to become the wife of the greatest noble in South America.
You have an exceedingly fine mustache, Your Excellency.
Then it is agreed. You will never regret it.
But we came here to have you marry us.
Alfonso, Pablo, Felipe, Manuel, Pedro. Drag this scum from my sight. Give him a good beating and send him away.
Alas, Candide was forced to quit Buenos Aires while his heart beat in anguish for the fair Cunegonde. He wandered throughout South America until he came to the fabulous land of El Dorado, where pebbles of gold lay untouched in the streets and small children play with diamonds and other precious stones. Here he found an old man.
I am 170 years old.
You don't look a day over 90.
Oh, thank you, my son. Have a drink from this diamond cup.
Ah.
I see you are like all Europeans. My son, here in El Dorado, we are exempt from the rapacity of the nations of Europe, who have an inconceivable lust for the pebbles and mud of our land, and would kill us to the last man to get possession of them.
Yes, you are right about us. Tell me, sir, have you no religion?
How can you doubt it? Do you think we are ingrates?
I beg your pardon.
No, that's quite all right.
You're very gracious. If I may ask, what is the religion of El Dorado?
Can there be two religions? We have the religion of everyone else. We adore God from evening till morning.
Do you adore only one God?
Manifestly. There are not two or three or four. I must confess the people of your world ask the most extraordinary questions.
Forgive me. But how do you pray?
Pray? We do not pray to God. We have nothing to ask him. He has given us everything necessary, and we continually give him thanks.
I see. But where are your priests?
My friend, we are all priests.
You mean you have no monks?
No. We have no one to teach, to dispute, to govern, to intrigue, and to burn people who do not agree with them.
If only my friend Dr. Pangloss could have lived to see El Dorado. How he would have loved to see you. And all this gold and precious stones.
Oh, poor Candide. If you like this yellow mud and these stones, scoop them up. We'll give you sheep to carry them. Take as much as you want.
My fortune is made. How can I thank you?
Oh, don't bother. We'll load 50 sheep with gold, precious stones, and diamonds.
And I shall ransom Cunegonde. She will be mine again, old man. I will rescue her from a fate worse than,
Don Fernando de Bari, Figueroa y Mascareñas y Lampurdos y Sousa?
It was on the tip of my tongue. Goodbye, old man.
The first day of his travels was quite pleasant, and Candide carved the names of Cunegonde on the trees. The second day, two of the sheep were swallowed up in the marsh. Seven or eight died of hunger in the desert. Several others fell off precipices. Finally, after 100 days of travel, only 2 sheep were left. By this time, Candide had arrived at Suriname, where he found a Negro lying on the ground wearing only a pair of blue cotton drawers. This poor man had no left leg and no right hand.
Good heavens! What are you doing in this horrible state?
I am waiting for my master.
Was it your master who treated you this way?
Naturally.
Oh, horrible.
No,
It is the custom. Twice a year we are given a pair of cotton drawers as clothing.
But your leg, your hand...
Nothing. Nothing at all. When we work in the sugar mills and the grindstone catches our fingers, they cut off the hand. When we try to run away, they cut off a leg.
And both things happen to you?
That should be obvious. This is the price for the sugar you eat in Europe.
Oh, Pangloss, this is too much. This is an abomination. I shall have to renounce optimism.
Optimism?
Alas. So
what is optimism, my friend?
I thought everyone knew. Why, it is the mania of maintaining that everything is well when we are wretches. Oh, Pangloss. Pangloss.
Thus sighing, Candide went in search of Mademoiselle Cunegonde. But instead of finding her, he lost much of his wealth and was carried by ship to France, where, as in the rest of Europe, the chief occupation is making love, the second, scandal-mongering, and the third, talking nonsense. Candide shook his head and sadly asked a man called Martin the question that was on his lips.
Monsieur, I am very sad. To what end was this world formed?
To infuriate us.
Have men always been liars and cheats and traitors, monsieur? Have they always been weak and cowardly and gluttonous and fanatical?
Do you think sparrowhawks have always eaten pigeons?
Yes, of course, monsieur.
Well, if sparrowhawks have always possessed the same nature, why should you expect men to change theirs?
Oh, there is a great difference. Free will, Pangloss said... excuse me, monsieur.
You are ill. Let me get you something.
I'm afraid so. I think you had better get me a doctor right away.
The story is nearly finished. I shan't bother to tell you the rest, for frankly, I am getting a little bored. It is enough to say that in the house of a Transylvanian prince on the shores of Propentis, Candide was miraculously reunited with Cunegonde, who was now a bleary-eyed old woman hanging out clothes on a line. Unfortunately, they were married. However, even more miraculous was the reappearance of Pangloss, who had been hanged but not well. After they had embraced for the 100th time, they met a famous dervish who was supposed to be the best philosopher in all Turkey.
Shall I speak to him, Pangloss?
No, I will speak to the famous dervish. Sira!
Yes? What do you want, infidel?
A question, master. We have come to beg you to tell us why so strange an animal as man ever created.
Tell me, is it your business?
I ask politely, of course.
I repeat, is it your business?
I am a philosopher.
No doubt.
Please, Reverend Father, there is a horrible amount of evil in the world.
What does it matter whether there is evil or good? When His Highness sends a ship to Egypt, does he worry about the discomfort of the rats in the ship?
My dear master, I wanted to discuss effects and causes in this best of all possible worlds.
Hold your tongue. Listen to me. I have 20 acres of land. I cultivate them with my children. And work keeps at bay the 3 great evils.
3, master?
Yes. Boredom, vice, and need. My existence is preferable to that of kings.
Excuse me, Dr. Pangloss.
Mm-hmm.
Should we not cultivate our gardens?
Cultivate? What's that?
He means let us work without theorizing.
Oh, I see.
Come along, Pangloss. We'll buy a little farm. Cunegonde is very ugly now, but she's an excellent pastry cook.
Excellent. You see, all events, my dear Candide, are linked up in this best of all possible worlds.
Yes?
Of course. If you had not been expelled from the castle for love of Cunegonde, if you had not wandered about America on foot, if you had not lost all your sheep from the land of El Dorado...
Well...
Don't you see? You would not be able to live here and eat candied citrons and pistachios.
Hmm. 'Tis well said, Pangloss. But we must cultivate our gardens.
Candide!
Yes, my dear?
Where are you going?
Out for a game of cards with the boys.
Again?
It's the first time.
You brute.
Yes, my dear.
Don't my dear me.
No, my dear.
You don't love me anymore.
No, my dear.
You abuse me behind my back.
Yes.
You prefer the innkeeper's company to mine.
Yes.
You trace your dirty feet over my nice new kitchen floor.
Oh, no, my dear.
You never tell me anymore how nice I look. You never tell me anything.
Yes.
I wish I were dead. I wish I'd been killed by the Bulgarians.
There, Cunegonde.
Don't you touch me, you brute. Oh, why did this happen to me? What did I do to deserve such a fate? All day I slave over a hot stove, and look at the thanks I get. Look at them. I hate you, Candide. I loathe you. I wish you were dead. I wish I were dead. I wish I'd...
She wept for a quarter of an hour, and Candide stopped his ears with cotton. Then, being a philosopher, he went off to play cards. And thus, you see, love and friendship came to sweeten the remainder of Candide's life. And now, dear listener, I shall take my leave of Candide.
Two cards, Pangloss, if you please. And not from the bottom of the deck. In this best of all possible worlds.
You have heard Candide by Voltaire, as adapted for the NBC Theater by Morton Wishengrad. In today's cast, Candide was played by Sam Edwards, Voltaire, Rolf Sedan. Cunegonde was Barbara Eiler, Pangloss was Jay Novello, the Bulgar was Lou Merrill, the old man was Shep Mencken, the king was Jan Arvan, Don Fernando was Don Diamond, and the woman was Alma Lawton. Be with us at the NBC Theater for a radio version next week of Jane Austen's Northanger Abbey. These broadcasts of the NBC Theater are sponsored by the National Broadcasting Company as part of a college-supervised course in world literature. If you wish to increase your own knowledge and appreciation of the great novels and novelists, we suggest that you write for full information on these correspondence courses. Write to the NBC Theater in care of one of the following universities or colleges: the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky; Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas; the University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Texas College of Arts and Industries, Kingsville, Texas; and Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, New York. The NBC Theater is produced by Wade Arnold. The director of the NBC Theater is Warren Lewis. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Tonight, Theater Guild on the Air presents Celeste Holm and William Holden in Blow Ye Winds. It's another one-hour dramatization in Theater Guild's outstanding series, heard every Sunday on NBC. Another Sunday evening favorite is the authentic Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae. The chimes are your invitation to top Sunday evening listening. Stay tuned for those remarkable quiz kids on NBC.